Sixth Canto, chapter 1, text number 64. Okay. Tam emivato shayamasham pityanarti nayavatam lam yermano ramai komai kashideta jatatata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Paraparamahansa Pari Braja Kachaja Abhay Saranaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thus Ajamil began spending whatever money he had inherited from his father to satisfy the prostitute with various kinds of presentations so that she would remain pleased with him. He gave up all of his brahminical activities to satisfy the prostitute. Please repeat. Thus there are many instances throughout the world in which even a purified person being attracted by a prostitute spends all the money he has inherited. Prostitute hunting is so abominable that the desire for sex with a prostitute can ruin one's character, destroy one's exalted position, and plunder all one's money. Therefore, illicit sex is strictly prohibited. One should be satisfied with his married wife, for even a slight deviation will create havoc. A Krishna-conscious grihastha should always remember this. He should always be satisfied with a one wife and be peaceful simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Otherwise, at any moment, he may fall down from his good position, as exemplified in the case of Ajamila. Tannimeta shmara vayaja graha grashto vichetana tamiva manashadiyan swadharmat viramaha. Translation. In the same way that the sun and moon are eclipsed by a low planet, the Brahmana lost all his good sense. Taking advantage of this situation, he always thought of the prostitute, and within a short time, he took her as his servant in his house and abandoned all the regulative principles of a Brahmana. Purport. By speaking this verse, Shukadeva Goswami wants to impress upon the mind of the reader that Ajamila's exalted position as a Brahmana was vanquished by his association with the prostitute, so much so that he forgot all of his brahminical activities. Nevertheless, at the end of his life, by chanting the four syllables of the name Narayan, he was saved from the gravest danger of falling down. Swalpam piyasya dharmasya trayati mahato bhayat. Even a little devotional service can save one from the greatest danger. Devotional service, which begins with chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is so powerful that even if one falls down from the exalted position of a Brahmana through sexual indulgence, he can be saved from all calamities if he somehow or other chants the holy name of the Lord. This extraordinary power of the Lord's holy name. This is the extraordinary power of the Lord's holy name. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, is it advised that one not forget the chanting of the holy name, even for a moment. Satatam kitayanto mam yatantas chadritas prataha. There are so many dangers in this material world that one may fall down from an exalted position at any time. Yet, If one keeps himself always pure and steady by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he will be safe without a doubt. Hare Krishna. Here, Prabhupada mentions that prostitute hunting is so abominable that this desire for sex with a prostitute can ruin one's character, destroy one's exalted position, and plunder all one's money. Srila Prabhupada was saying one time that he said that actually I had plenty of opportunity for sense gratification because I was living with a very aristocratic family, the environment. He said that, and there was plenty of opportunities for sense gratification for me. He said, but I was always thinking that what will other people think of me if they find out that I was indulging in some sense gratification? But he was conscious. What will other people think of me? Otherwise, one will lose all of his character, all of his position, everything. And we've seen it happen. So Prabhupada gave a good hint then, that just on the that basis of that alone, what would people think of me? Then one can also remain steady. But here it's illustrating this part of the Bhagavatam, that even though a person does become as degraded as Ajamila, it's always a chance for him if he's chanting Hare Krishna. Declare it boldly, my devotee is never vanquished. Krishna says, even if that a person commits the most abominable activities, he should be considered saintly if he is again engaged in devotional service, in his proper position. But if one is not engaged in his proper position, then he should be considered fallen. But this is the power of the process of chanting Hare Krishna and the process of devotional service, that as soon as one is situated in devotional service, practically there is no considerate, one shouldn't consider one's past even. If one engages in devotional service and is remaining steady, one shouldn't consider one's past activity. And in fact, that constitutes a Vaishnava aparad. You're looking back in terms of his quality, past activity and his misbehavior. But when he's taken the process of devotional service and he's absorbed in devotional service, then he's no more subject to be identified with his past as a karmi, his karmi past. Because it's an offense to see a Vaishnava coming from a particular caste, creed, etc. No, if he's engaged seriously in devotional service, he should be taken for what he is right now. He's Krishna's servant, he's perfectly situated. So this is the potency of devotional service. We were hearing yesterday that Sukadeva Goswami was kind of testing Parikshit Maharaj, you should undergo some prayaschitta, you should make some atonement, which is recommended in the Vedas. But devotional service is so powerful that one simply has to perform devotional service. And he's perfectly situated and he's free from all the so-called sinful activity that he was performing the pious chitta for. And in fact, if a person performs prayaschitta, if a devotee who's initiated in the bona fide sampradaya with the names of Vishnu and engaged in devotional service, somehow or another falls down, if he performs prayaschitta activities to nullify them, then he should still be considered fallen. Because he's just performing dharma still. Devotional service is transcendental. Dharmic means you're still within the realm of the three modes of material nature. So it's considered fallen. But devotional service is beyond the three modes of material nature. So even prize chitta activity for a devotee, he shouldn't do that. He still remains fallen. Immediately situate yourself where you fell down from devotional service. And once you're back there, you're perfectly situated. Even in our own example, even some sannyasis in ISKCON, and they had fallen down from the path of association, fallen down association with women. They come back. I think this incident happened here in Bombay, in Juhu. And he was also Srila Prabhupada's servant. Somehow or another, he was a lord. He came back, and the devotees were thinking, he fell down from that exalted position, now he's degraded, he come associated with. Srila Prabhupada said, he come back and he said, Srila Prabhupada, whatever, he apologized, no, I fell off the path of devotional service. What shall I do? Prabhupada said, I can give you sannyas. You can take it as a blessing or a curse. However you want to take it. He said, but I can give you sannyas. In other words, Srila Prabhupada saw that engaging one in putting one situated in a game one in devotional service in preaching will fully counteract. And I think a few purposes ago, Prabhupada was mentioning that not only one should save himself from the cycle of birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead by the process of devotion, but he should also save others. Prabhupada mentioned in that purport that the most rapid way of becoming Krishna is actually preaching. You're preaching, because when you're preaching, you're thinking about others, you're not thinking about yourself. Why you fall down? Because you're thinking about yourself. So when you're thinking about others, you don't get time to think about yourself. So this is the business of a sannyasi. He should just be preaching. He should be thinking about others. So that's the best way. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to pick this fallen person and put him in the position of a preacher, because it's the most purifying position to be in. It's the most purifying process of devotional service to be a preacher. So he wanted to pick him up from that position, lowest position, and put him in that highest position, actually. So Prabhupada didn't make any kind of distinction, now you've got to perform some prize chitti, or you've got to do some penance or austerity, or go to Mayapur and do Chatamasya or something like that and become purified. No, immediately. I'll put you back with sannyas, with the danda, it'll make you stronger. But he said, you take it as a blessing or a curse. So then it was up to the soul who had fallen, how he wanted to. And if we choose to remain in devotional state, that's all we've got to do. We've got to choose to remain in devotion, then you're safe. You have to act. As long as you've got a body, you have to act with your senses. You have to think with your mind. You have to do these things. That's all. Now you have a choice. You can either act and think for Krishna, or you can act and think for devotional state. That's all. You have that choice. You got to act anyway. You got to think anyway. So now you make a choice. One choice goes to hell. One choice goes back to Godhead. So that's up to us. We have to make this choice. And if we don't make the correct choice of surrendering to Krishna and Guru and performing devotional service and going back, then it's very, very dangerous business. Very dangerous. How many births you take during one universe, you can't calculate. You're going through this cycle of birth and death. You can't calculate how many births in one universe. These universes are just coming with the bubble, like bubbles, with the breath of Vishnu. What a dangerous position. And it can happen in a moment, like Ajamil. A moment, he said a little glance, he saw some man and a woman embracing, and even he tried to forget it. Just a few moments, seeing that scene, he was alert. Fell down. He was on his way back to Godhead. If he hadn't have chanted the name of Narayan, what would have been his fate? He would have gone back in the cycle of birth and death and again. Of course, the holy name will always act. Sometime or another, it will act. It's never lost. But God knows how long it'll may take again. There's a story from the Puranas, and the Guru was telling his disciple that this Maya is very, very difficult, very tricky. She can. And he said, "But Guru Maharaj, we're living in the Himalayas. We're away from any association, worldly association. I'm simply serving you whole day. This act, how is Maya, can Maya be so powerful? I really don't think this is a, it doesn't register to me because I'm a fixed up brahmachari. From morning to night, I know nothing but service, and all we see is the fresh mountains, and I collect my wood and I bring, you know, I'm just doing menial service, and it's so nice. But you're telling him how this Maya is so powerful. I can't really." He was thinking, "I can't comprehend. How can people be bewildered by Maya and be blown away by Maya? Because here it's such a nice situation, perfect situation. I can't really comprehend. How can they do that? How can they actually be really swept away by Maya, Gurudev? They're fixed in devotional service." So anyway, a few nights later, there was a terrible storm. Great hurricane. And he bolted all the doors, and the rain was torrential, and the thunder. And then he thought he heard some sound, and it sounded like a scream. He said, "Is this, who'll be out there in this weather?" And he heard it was actually a scream. Someone screaming for help. So he opened the window. At night it was pitch black and nothing was there. And suddenly a lightning came and just illuminated the scene. And he could see someone, and it was a woman. She was there in the middle of this fearsome great tornado, hurricane that was passing in the mountain. And she was terrified. So then he called her. And he said, come here. And she heard the sound. She just went there. He said, "Come in the house." He said, "No." She said, "No, I can't come in your house because it's at night and we're alone. I can't stay in this. It won't be good for me to have stayed the night in the house of someone else. I'm all alone. I'll just stay outside on the veranda here in the shelter." No, you come in. It's a very distressed condition." And she said, No, I shouldn't come into a house alone with a man." No, you don't. "Here's a room. You go inside, you lock the door. Don't open the door under any condition. Even if I'm calling, I want, and I will ask you to," she said, "under any condition, you just don't open until the daylight. Then you can go. I'm see you in this distressed condition. It's my duty to offer you this. You can't sleep out on the veranda. It's so bad." So he said, "Just go through the door. That's the door." It was so dark because everything was dark. There was no light. So she went in the door and she locked the door, and then she was able to go to sleep. So then that brahmachari, he was saying that was a nice pious activity. Did I save that woman from terrible danger? She may have died in the freezing cold, the icy rain and everything. And then he began to think. But I remember how it was pouring of rain, her cloth was soaking wet, and all of her clothes were stuck to her body. And then that lightning came, and I actually saw that very shapely form, and I can't stop thinking about it. And he kept thinking and thinking. He became so obsessed with this, thinking of the form he had just seen. He went to the door. He couldn't control himself, and he banged on the door. Mataji, please open the door. Please open the door. She said, "No, no, no. It's me. I live here." "No, no. You promised you would. I should never open the. Please, please, Mataji. No, 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 no." So he was crying. "Please." She said, "No, I cannot open it." He said, "Please, please. Then you please marry me when the daylight comes." "I cannot control myself. Please marry me when the daylight comes." And she said, "Okay, when the daylight comes." She said, but if you want to marry me, you will have to take me to the top of the mountain. And there is one temple. I want to go to that temple and we can be married there. But it's a very steep mountain. And I want you to carry me up that mountain, but you get down on your hands and knees. I will sit on your back, and you climb up the mountain into the temple and take me there, and there we can be married." Oh, he was so relieved. "Oh, I'm so happy now." I'm so happy that he could finally satisfy his desires and marry this girl he had become so obsessed with. So then the morning came, and he was so happy that immediately he made all preparations and he got down on his hands and knees. He said, "I'll take you to that temple." So she sat on his back, and very steep mountain. He had to climb up there, and his knees and arms and elbows were all bloody and cut. But he didn't even think about it. It was just sort of his obsession with his, at last he's going to get this woman who himself. And then finally he got to the top. In front of the temple, and his beautiful woman was there. And he said, now we can get married. And this woman said, "You fool." you were saying you didn't think it was possible how anyone can be attracted by Maya. And you saw me in just the time for a flash of a lightning stroke. You saw this form. But you didn't believe me when I told you how Maya was strong. Then he became the guru. The woman was actually the guru. And you know, "Guru Maharaj, it's you." He said, "Yes." He said, "Never underestimate Maya. You thought you were so fixed up. But within the flash of a lightning, you fell down. That's all it took, a lightning flash." So this is the dangers of how clever Maya is. And one moment can be completely overwhelmed. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even the moment's contemplation of one of the senses on the sense objects can sweep away a man of discrimination, a man who is actually trying to control his senses. So this is the situation of Maya. She's so, so tricky. I came the other day from outside the streets, and I came to take shelter Radha Gopinath. I paid my obeisances. "Please, Radha Gopinath, give me shelter that I may not fall down." And I opened my eyes, and there was a full page picture of a pinup, some lady in a bikini. They wrapped it around this where they were doing painting that lotus. And this one had come open. It was a full page of a lady in a bikini. And I After saying these nice prayers, I looked up and right in front of my eyes, you know, I completely forgot my prayer for a moment. You know. This is how dangerous Maya is. It's like that. You go in front of the deity and you're offering a prayer. Please, Krishna, protect me from the particular type of Maya that's trying to attack me. Before you finish the sentence, you're actually thinking of it. It's a fact. This is how Maya is working, and the mind is working. The very thing you're saying, Krishna, please protect me from, the moment you're thinking about it, because that's the mind's sense gratification. Immediately the mind goes to that, and suddenly you're thinking about it again. You haven't even finished the sentence to Krishna. Mind is so tricky. Nature of the mind. We're on a train one time with Srila Prabhupada, and Pancha Dravida was there, one of his disciples, Pancha Dravida Prabhu. And they're leaving the station, and then suddenly everything, you're looking out the window and you can't see anything except whoosh, 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 whoosh. You can't make out what's outside anymore as it picks up speed. And then Pancha Dravida, then he says, Srila Prabhupada, he said, I'm looking out the window. I can't see anything because whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And suddenly, I focus in on something and it's a woman. He said, you can't even see anything practically, but the mind, it brings one, yes, there's a woman, it brings that to focus. Why is that, Prabhupada? I didn't see anything else. It was whoosh, but suddenly it brought the woman into focus. It concentrated in. And Prabhupada said, that's just the mind. That's just the way it works. It's just the nature. It will just pick out objects of sense gratification. That's just the way it works. You don't want to do it, but you're forcibly, the mind will just go to where it wants. Of course, the mind is very independent. That's why it's always stressing. Every form of, not only a form of self-realization, but every form of civilized living is stressing mind control, mind control, mind control. But the mind is become so independent and so stubborn, Prabhupada said. Mind is so stubborn. Again and again and again, you have to drill, but still it's so stubborn. And actually, he is the enjoyer of the world because he's receiving all the impressions. So he's actually become the enjoyer. So he doesn't even care for the intelligence, although he should be listening to the intelligence. But he becomes so independent, he doesn't care for anything, and the mind is just reigning supreme. Actually, he thinks that I am the enjoyer. And actually, he's experiencing the enjoying and sufferings. The picture in the Bhagavad Gita, and the senses are the horses, and the mind is the reins, and the driver is the intelligence. The intelligence can't control the mind. The mind are the reins. They become independent. They're taking the horses where they want to go. And of course, the soul is in the back, completely bewildered. He doesn't know what's happening. So mind is taking charge of the senses and it's just driving this chariot of the body around. Its influence is, it's so powerful, it's even influenced the intelligence. No, this is actually good what we're doing. This sense gratification business is very good. It's telling the intelligence, so you should help me actually. So the intelligence says, oh really? He's becoming convinced by the mind. The intelligence actually helps you how to have sense gratification, helps the mind how to get his sense gratification. So therefore one becomes completely bewildered in the and also remember that the mind never dies, because the subtle body never dies. The subtle body will go to the next body, the mind, intelligence, and hunger. That will take the soul to the next body. The gross body will die. But the mind doesn't die. It goes, the subtle body will take another body, another group of senses, and then it will enjoy that group of senses also. So the mind has become very much attached to his independence because he doesn't die even. In the subconscious, he doesn't die there. Of course, because he identifies so much with the body, he experiences dying when he's leaving the body. But actually, he doesn't. He just goes into another body. But he's become so used to this independence, so attached to it, that he's just going through, you know, transmigrating through all these different species of life, as you enjoy tasting all the different varieties. Unfortunately, he becomes more and more bound up, performing all the different types of abominable activities. And for him, actually, sense gratification is the only thing that's happening. That is the big news. And I was just noticing, about 6 months ago, it kind of struck me. Of course, I don't read the newspapers, but you can't help seeing the newspapers when they're lying around. And every time I see one now, it's the same feature. But now on every newspaper, they have a picture of a woman right on the very top, the first, usually in the corner somewhere, one or two or even more. But there's always a picture of a woman scantily dressed on top practically of every newspaper. And they put it in color. There never used to be color newspaper when I used to read. I mean, I never read newspaper anyway. But now I've noticed it's a phenomenon. It just suddenly struck me. That was never there before. But now it's become a daily news. So this means the karmis are very expert on this psychology. For selling things, the advertising agency is very good. They pick up this psychology. Woman. So they always put woman with their ad. So now even the newspapers. This is the daily news. So factually, what is news? That these scantily dressed women. Otherwise, they wouldn't put it on the top. They put it there for a reason, because it immediately attracts the attention and people will spend their money and buy it. So actually, this must be the big news of the world, because it's above all the headlines. big calamities and every. But even above that, they still keep. So first that, then the other, okay. So that's new. That is the news of the world. So the whole world is bound up by this illusory potency of the Lord, male and female enjoyment. And nobody can get free unless they take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Here, Prabhupada said that we shouldn't underestimate the power of the holy name. It's our saving grace. And Ajamil, he simply chanted the holy name of Narayan. He just remembered it and then chanted it. And even though it was the chanting of his son's name, still it had the effect. And Prabhupada said, this is the extraordinary power of the Lord's holy name. Therefore, we shouldn't forget chanting the holy name, even for a moment. Shatam kitayanto, Krishna says, always chanting my glories. So this should always should be going on. Kitaniya Shadahari, also Lord Chaitanya has recommended that this should always be going on. Then we can become safe, because this holy name is so powerful. Why it's so powerful? Because it is none different than Krishna. We have heard many times how Krishna and his name is none different. And we should become convinced of that, because it is a fact. But we should become convinced of it. So if we're not convinced of it, how it can help us? Because Krishna is our helper. He is our savior. He will help us. But if we're chanting Hare Krishna, not realizing that this is Krishna, is none different than Krishna. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So if we're just chanting and think it's maybe just a sound vibration, but not Krishna, then he would say, you need help, but how can I help you? Because you think I'm just a sound vibration. How can a sound vibration help you? But if we understand it's Krishna, then Krishna, okay, I will help. You're understanding I'm Krishna, my name is none different than myself. Therefore, I can help you. You're calling upon my name in times of danger and need. So therefore, Krishna will reciprocate according to our understanding. So because of our conditioning in this material world, it's so difficult. Even we hear very clearly, Krishna presents the message clearly, Guru is presenting message very clearly. We're so thick-headed in Kali Yuga. It doesn't go through. We're hearing all the time the glories of we're chanting the holy name, but become bewildered. What was the word used? Vichetana, in verse 63. Having completely forgotten his real position. So this is our problem. We forget the real Vichetana. We forget our real position. And we become absorbed in an unreal position. I got the key to the room. Number nine room. I looked at the key the other day, it was number six. I've got the wrong key. So you have to turn it upside down, it's number nine. So like this material world is like that. The six sometimes looks like nine, or sometimes things just get reversed. And we are chanting Hare Krishna, and I'm thinking that this, I'm producing a sound vibration. I'm producing the sound, but I'm creating the sound vibration. The six has become nine. The sound vibration is none different than Krishna. First of all, I can't produce Krishna. But I'm thinking I'm creating Krishna. But in fact, it's completely the opposite way around. We come from Krishna. Krishna's created us. I'm sitting here, whatever I think I am, mind, body, words, etc. Identifying, and I'm creating Krishna. But actually, it's the opposite way around. Krishna is none different than his name. Aham Savasya, everything comes from him. So actually, he's created his body, he's created his mind, he's created his intelligence. And I'm sitting here thinking I'm this body and I'm creating Krishna. It's an upside down world. So how can I produce Krishna? So what am I doing? They say, we have to chant Hare Krishna. It seems like I'm... Prabhupada says, no. He said that Krishna actually manifests himself on the tongue in pure chanting. What we're chanting may be a representation of Krishna. But actually, in pure chanting, then, because how Krishna can be there by your chanting? You can't create Krishna. Prabhupada said, no, he self-manifests himself on the tongue. So this is the extraordinary potency of Krishna. When you chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said, Krishna will dance on your tongue. It means also literally. Literally, he can dance on your tongue. And I think Harinam Chintamani. Then Krishna will dance, your tongue will dance, Krishna will dance on your tongue, and you will also dance on your tongue, and everyone will dance in ecstasy. So this is the result of chanting Hare Krishna. But so often it's so difficult actually to comprehend that Krishna is non-different than his holy name. We so conditioned in this lifetime in understanding Krishna, how he is non different than his holy name. So at least on out of good behavior we chant the holy name, and on the strength of the philosophy we will chant. And slowly the effect will be there, all the misunderstandings will go, all the illusions will go away. Then actually Krishna will be pleased to reveal himself according to our sincerity and our conviction. As you surrender, may I reward you accordingly. If you're convinced that Krishna is none different than his holy name, you'll see Krishna. If you're convinced Krishna is none different than the deity form, you'll see Krishna. But philosophically, we understand so many things, but in the moment, how much we actually identify this body to be myself. I'm very convinced. It's very convincing that the body is myself. I'm dealing with people and having a relationship. It's very convincing that I am this body. And so that much we are convinced, and that much we are not convinced about Krishna. So the more we become convinced about Krishna, the less we become convinced about our actual situation as his body, and understand actually we're the eternal servants of Krishna. And we can actually serve Krishna. This is we can always be absorbed in service to Krishna, and this will keep us safe from identifying wrong identification. Identification is there, but the identification is I am Krishna's servant. So if actually Guru comes to reveal this, that makes it even easier, because then it does become much more practical, because Guru is there, he practically gives us instructions. We see Guru, we touch Guru, we can bathe Guru, we can do anything. We can feed him. And he's eating. We don't always see the deity, but we see Guru is eating. It's very practical. And so then relationship is very practical. And so by his Krishna's manifesting himself as Guru, and then it becomes a very practical way for our spiritual realization. Therefore, the Guru is essential, and we take shelter at the lotus feet of Guru and learn to serve Guru. And everything in relation to Guru, this is how we get our actual Krishna realization. We have that implicit faith in Guru. Then everything is revealed by Krishna. We have implicit faith in Guru and Krishna. Everything will be revealed that we need to know. So practically that's all we need. Is that faith in Guru. Not blindly. Blind can be there, but in the beginning, not blind. You test Guru, you check Guru. When you're convinced, then you can accept Guru, and then you can follow blindly once you've tested and accepted. So test more or less means that the Guru is situated firmly at the lotus feet of his spiritual master. This is the test. One test. But very nice test. That the Guru is firmly fixed in the order, executing the order of his spiritual master, and he's firmly fixed at the lotus feet of his spiritual master. And he's teaching his disciples the same. That person, you can understand, he's perfectly situated. So therefore we can situate ourselves at his lotus feet. Because we want to be perfectly situated. Find that person who's perfectly situated at the feet of his Guru. And situate yourself perfectly at his lotus feet. then you're in a very, very safe situation in the dangerous material world. Because Guru is also situated at the feet of his Guru is situated at the feet of his Guru, all the way up to Krishna. So ultimately they're all situated at the lotus feet of Guru. So this is a very, very safe situation. So when one's convinced, then one accepts the Guru and he receives initiation from him. And at that time receives a spiritual name. And in fact he gets spiritual body at that time. At the time of initiation. And Prabhupada said at that time Krishna recognizes the disciple. Well, at last he's become serious to turn back to me. And he's following my instructions. If you want to understand me, approach the spiritual master, run the service, inquire submissively. He's following my instructions. At last he's becoming serious. Prabhupada said that Krishna recognizes you at that time. You become serious and take shelter at the lotus feet of a devotee. And I think it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam when the Maharaj Priyavrata is following the sunshine, makes a new sun, following the sun around. That chapter, there's one purport there. It's talking about the glories of the holy name. And Prabhupada quotes in there, he's quoting Sanatana Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas. And he says that at the time of initiation, actually you get a spiritual body. And Prabhupada said, now you may not see how you've got a spiritual body because it kind of looks the same as it did before you took initiation. You're not off the walking on the ground anymore. You're not floating around anymore or something like that. You still seem to be the same person. But Prabhupada points out, he says, no. He said, because at that time, he said, you get spiritual initiation. You get, at that time, he said, you act in the spiritual body. He said, because you absorb yourself in thinking about Krishna and performing service for Krishna. He said, so this is with the subtle body, the mind. He said, so you can easily see actually how the mind has changed. You may not see the gross transformation in this body. He said, but definitely you'll see in the subtle body. Because before you was a kami, there was the last thing you thought of was Krishna and devotional service. You just thought of sense gratification. Now all of a sudden, it's just Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Seeing Krishna deity, performing service, associating with the devotees, talking about Krishna and Guru. It's nothing but Krishna we're thinking. Eating Krishna prasadam, all we do is just 24 hours a day is Krishna. And before we became devotee, 24 hours a day it was just Maya, right? So he said, you can see how the mind, the subtle body has changed completely. That you can't deny. You don't want to forget Krishna for a moment. You can't deny it. So it's like he said, you see how the subtle body has changed. And it's just a matter of time before the gross body also becomes purified. He said, because, he said, of the two bodies, the gross body and the subtle body is more important. Because it's by the subtle body you get the gross body. So the gross body becomes spiritualized by always remembering Krishna and talking about Krishna. He says, so it becomes spiritualized. Then, yum yum, whatever you're remembering at the time of leaving, you'll attain that state without fail at the time of leaving your body. So when you're always thinking about Krishna and serving Krishna, you've got to take a body in that situation where you're always talking and thinking about Krishna. So, but that doesn't happen in the material world. So in other words, you go back to Godhead because that's where the consciousness is, where everybody's serving Krishna and talking about Krishna. So you go back to Godhead. So this is the potency of meeting the a pure devotee of Krishna and taking shelter at his lotus feet, that he establishes you he gives you recognition from Krishna, that he's actually takes responsibility to take you back to the lotus feet of Krishna, and he gives you the process of the acharyas, the process of devotional service, specifically the chanting of the Maha Mantra, which is our process in this age of Kali. It is the Yuga Dharma, and he gives it, and it's none different than Krishna. And factually, when Guru gives you, initiates you and gives you the holy name, he's giving you Krishna. From the time of initiation, actually, you get Krishna. Guru has given you Krishna. Krishna is none different than his name. And only the devotee of Krishna can give Krishna. Krishna is the property of his devotee. So his devotees actually give you Krishna. So what more else do you have to ask for? You've got Krishna. You've got the process. You just got to execute the process and chant Hare Krishna. And you go directly back to Godhead. And then Guru's there when you get there waiting for you to introduce you to everyone else in Krishna. So this is the simplicity of Krishna consciousness, a whole process of devotional service. And as long as you remain in there, we're very, very much protected from Maya. The moment you step out, you're unprotected. So we always remain in the under the protection and shelter of the of devotional service. And then the process becomes easy. And then we don't have to actually practically, all the problem's finished. So we don't have to worry, we shouldn't worry Guru anymore about this and that. Especially now, we've got this letter circulating around. We shouldn't try to bother Maharaj too much. Rather not His Holiness, rather not Maharaj. You should, every little thing we will have to run, only my Guru can solve my problems. I have to ask him every little thing, so that so it's significant at this time also, because there is a letter going around saying that we should let Radhanath Maharaj take rest to recuperate. And factually, what we have to more do we ask for Guru? What more can we ask from him actually? From the very beginning, he gave us Krishna, and he's given us the process of devotional service. So we shouldn't become babies anymore. Guru Maharaj, give me this. Guru Maharaj, give me that. Guru Maharaj, give me that. Okay, if he's fine and healthy. But when he's in a situation, it's not. So then we should. And factually, a disciple should be thinking, my Guru, he saved me from the cycle of birth and death. I shouldn't take any of his time. Because actually, his only business, I see, he's saving others. I'm so fortunate that he picked me up. And his only business is saving people. Why should I take 1 second of his time away from saving others to give me attention? Already he saved me. So why I should take... Rather, let me assist him any way I can in helping him spread Krishna consciousness. This should be our attitude. We should be grateful. Instead of, no, Guru Maharaj, only Guru Maharaj can name my new baby. Only Guru Maharaj can do the anaprasana. Only Guru Maharaj can... Every little thing has only my Guru Maharaj can do. Okay, if he's there and healthy and he's well and he's enthusiastic to do it, but we shouldn't demand that every little thing now my Guru Maharaj can do for me. So, that's the idea. We should remain very enthusiastic and very thankful for Guru, that not only saved the problem of birth and death. The big problem in this world is birth and death. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this is the big problem. You took birth, you're going to grow old, you're going to get disease, you're going to die. But Krishna says this is the problem, you can't solve it. Guru solved that problem. He solved the problem of birth and death. Your doctors, they can't solve your problem. The Guru, he solved your problem. So you don't have a problem anymore, actually, in the world. And you should become enthusiastic that now I don't have a problem. So what is my... Now, what is our business? We've just been told the positive. There's no more birth and death. What is waiting us? Back to home, back to Godhead. Krishna's there, his friends, cows, Yamuna. All these are waiting for us, sir. So we should be very enthusiastic. to go back. In serving Krishna, to serve Krishna again. So, like that, we should just remain completely grateful to for Guru for actually picking us out of this terrible situation where there is danger at every step. And again and again and again and again and again throughout Prabhupada's books, he's not just telling us one time. He's telling us again and again, be careful, be careful, be careful. And if you, because he knows this is the situation of Kali Yuga, and he knows that you will fall down. People. So again and again he tells us, and again he tells a remedy. If you do, just get up and absorb yourself in devotional service again. Just keep absorbing yourself again and again in devotional service. This is Prabhupada's kindness. No one else speaks like this in their books, except in Prabhupada's books. He drums it again and again and again. You're not the body again. Even the scholars criticize Prabhupada. Why is Swamiji so repetitive? He doesn't have to repeat. You know, we're intellectuals. You don't have to keep repeating things. But Prabhupada does it again and again because we do forget again and again and again. So this is all. He's given us a whole process of Krishna consciousness, always telling us who we are, what we should be doing, the dangers of falling down, what we do if we fall down, get back. Just his kindness. He simply wants us to keep us in this situation. So we should be very, very, very grateful to what we've been given, and we should just assist the Guru in his mission. That's all. That should become our only business in life. And not try to burden the Guru, or give the Guru, you know, I shouldn't be the cause of, you know, taking so much time for my Guru. Someone was telling me some time ago, they kept on and on about I got to do serve the devotees. I got to serve the devotees. I got to make it serve the development department and things like that. And I said, well, this was never in Krishna consciousness before. Radha Gopinath Juki. Devotees need, you know, you do the needful. That's all right. What is all this? You're going overboard. You want to make a department. We're serving the devotee department. And he's going on. I said, it's a little bit, you know, off. We know it's one of the main principles that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu supposedly accepted from Ramanuja. Service to the devotees. When it's necessary, we serve. It's not use. You have to spend your whole life searching around. How can I serve the devotee, or make a devotee department. Anyway, he was going on and on like that. It's becoming quite big in ISKCON. This is a kind of a fad or something. And I was saying, you do what's needful. You don't have to go overboard on these things. But he said, no. He said, my Guru Maharaj told me also I got to serve the devotees. He told me I got to serve the devotees. It's my service. And this, my other Shiksha Guru also told me. he said, but now you're telling me something else. You shouldn't take it so seriously. It shouldn't be, you know. He said, now it's a contradiction. I don't want to disrespect you, but my Shiksha Gurus and my Diksha Gurus tell me, and you're telling me something else. I said, I'm telling you this because I'm a simple brahmachari. That you just absorb in your service. If it needs be, when you're in contact with a devotee who needs help, you give him help. That's all. Your business is to serve Guru, go back to Godhead. You don't create another diversion somewhere else in the name of some. I said, I'm telling this because I'm a simple brahmacharya. I said, but if I was a guru, I would also tell you, serve the devotees. I said, but I'm not a guru. And I said, you know why your guru is telling you to serve the devotees? Because you've all become like little babies. You're always pressuring, give me this, do guru, give me this, guru, give me this, guru, guru, I want this, guru, guru has to do this, guru has to do this. I said, you're driving the gurus crazy. It's no wonder they're saying, do you look after the dukkha? They don't want the responsibility. I said, I'd do the same thing if I was a guru. I would give someone else a responsibility. Go and look after the devotees. So like that, don't become babies. And give botheration to the guru. Now realize what we've been given. The problem's been solved from day one. Your problem's solved from the time of initiation. And now you're just going directly back to God. Just be enthusiastic about where we're going. This dance and chant. We don't have to worry about anything else. And bother Guru. How we can help Guru. How we can assist him in spreading his mission. This should be our mood. And factually, this is the mood of the whole Gaudiya Sampradaya, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing that in Chaitanyamrita, that I've come to distribute these fruits of love of God. I am one man, what can I do? Lord Chaitanya is beckoning, please help me assist in distributing these fruits of love of God. It's preaching the holy name everywhere. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is begging us to please help. So, Prabhupada's statement? I believe Prabhupada's statement. He says, Lord Chaitanya has a problem. He's asking, please help me. He has a problem. He's asking for help. Please help me distribute these fruits of love of God. Please help me preach this message everywhere. He says, so his problem actually becomes our problem. We don't have a problem, but we accept Lord Chaitanya's problem. What's his problem? How to distribute this message all over the world. So that becomes our problem, because it's Lord Chaitanya's. He is our Ishtadeva. He is our hero. So his problem becomes our problem. Our problem, birth and death, and except everything else is finished. We're going back. So we do take problem, but we take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's problem. How we can help him and assist him in his assistance, assist the assistance in spreading this mission, distributing this fruits of Krishna consciousness all over the world. So factually, that's as easy as that. But Prabhupada actually used to, more or less, he would finish every lecture. So just be happy. Chant Hare Krishna. Go back home, back to God. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srima Bhagavatam ki. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki. Nitai Gopremanandi. Hare Krishna.